into it. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject of, this is just a really a one Sunday thing that I want to do with you guys, and it's called Pay It Forward. Everybody say Pay It Forward. Pay It Forward. Pay it forward is an expression, and you guys, I'm gonna break down really the definition for pay it forward as we go through this message, but pay it forward is an expression for describing the beneficiary of a good deed, repaying it to others instead of repaying the one who did the good deed to him or to her. Pay it forward is not something that comes natural to the human being. In fact, we only get better at this through Christ, because believe it or not, our nature is to lean toward getting payback instead of paying it forward. Let me illustrate this for you. In 2021, we were in Dallas, Texas for Christmas with my family. And my brother has a home there with his family. My mom and dad came in from Nashville. We flew in from Virginia Beach, from Chesapeake, and went in, and we just had this beautiful just kind of time with family. Well, my brother and sister-in-law had this indoor snowball kit. And what it is, it's this huge tub of snowballs, and it's got the it's kind of got the weight or the consistency of cornhole bag, you know what I'm saying? But they're fluffy and white, and so you can throw them across a room, and when they hit you, you know, they make a thud. It's a lot of fun, you know, so you can have a snowball fight indoors. Go to Amazon. I'm sure you can find them. Y'all can have snowball fights this Christmas and stuff. But anyway, in the midst of the chaos, as we're throwing snowballs at each other, I accidentally picked up a tennis ball and hit my wife with it. And let's just go to the videotape so we can watch this together, you guys. So I'm going to commentate as this goes. All right, go ahead. I'm ready. So here it is. The ball hits Lori, and immediately she goes into payback mode. So and what happens is after she realizes it, then she gets the tennis ball. Now she's coming to do payback. So let's watch this in slow-mo. Again, I accidentally hit her with the tennis ball. And she goes in there. Let's watch it one more time for the tape. Accidentally throwing the ball, and her reaction is payback. Now, just in case you didn't catch this, I accidentally hit her with a tennis ball. Here it is. And she goes immediately into, oh, no, you didn't. And here is the walk of payback, you guys. That's where we don't want to be, okay? So, getting paid back is never the solution. So just in case you missed it, here you go. Look at this picture. We're going to go back to still frames. The ball hits Lori, facial reactions, and then the walk of payback. Okay. So, guys, the lesson here is we don't want to pay back. We want to pay it forward. All right? Amen? Yeah, so, hey, is it okay to have a little fun in the house of God? Come on, you guys. Many believe, actually, the phrase pay it forward was coined by Lily Hammond in her 1916 book called The Garden of Delight, where her line is this. She said, you don't pay love back, you pay it forward. There was actually a movie in the year 2000 that was called Pay It Forward, and the lead line in the movie was this, that when someone does you a good deed, don't pay it back, pay it forward. I don't know if you know this, but there is a Pay It Forward Foundation, that there is a Pay It Forward novel, that there's actually a day in our calendar year on April 30th that is called Pay It Forward Day. I don't know if you've seen some of the commercials on TV where you'll see somebody open up a door and somebody else sees them do that, and that causes them to want to pay it forward by opening the door, and then somebody in the car saw that, so they pay forward by letting somebody cut in front of them, and it just kind of goes on and on and on. It's like something that goes into people, like it causes them to want to be a part of blessing and loving others. You know, I think about the people who have poured into my life. I think about my mom and dad, the years that they poured into my brother and I. And here's the reality is that I would never be able to pay them back. The coaches that I played for, the teachers that were over me, family and friends that sown into my life, I'll never be able to pay them back. The best that I can do, though, is with my life try to do, if not the same, but better in loving people. And paying it forward. Throughout the Bible, there are actually scriptures that speak to, and we know this, to being blessed by God, in the favor of God, but it also talks to us about finances and being good stewards and paying it forward. Even down to the part of workers' wage, where in 1 Timothy 5:18, it says that the scriptures say those who work deserve their pay. Or in some other translations, that the servant is worth his or her hire. You think about spiritual blessing. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 15. Look at the scripture. It says, but before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers of Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. Paul takes it a step further in spreading the good news because he knows he has received something that is so valuable, that has been so life-changing, that he wants to pay it forward. And it's found in Romans 1, 14 through 15. It says, for I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome too to preach the good news. You see, Paul had something he knew the world needed. Paul wanted to share what had been given to him to be a blessing to others. And Paul was eager to pay it forward. So I want to get us to a place that hopefully for the remainder of this year, in fact, as we go into the new vision of this year, is that God, that we could pray a prayer. God, I want to continue to move forward. I want to make a difference with my life. And like Paul, I want to pay it forward. So how do we do that? One of the first things that I believe God is going to say to us today is, God, we need to pray this. God, lead my way of thinking. How many of us know that there is a constant battle for our minds? Every day, every second, there is a battle for our minds. A full-on strategic spiritual attack to conquer and win over the mind of every heart. So why ask God to lead our thinking? Well, let's look at some scriptures in Isaiah 55, 8, 9. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We go to the New Testament in Ephesians 3:20, and it says, now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And then the psalmist writes it this way in Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and what's it say? And know my thoughts. And I would say that if we could all, as men and women of God, as students of the Lord, if we could just get to a place where this would flow out of our mouth, God, let my thoughts be your thoughts. I want to think on the things of God, and what you have to say, let it come into my mind and let your thoughts be my thoughts. In Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, now this scripture is going to come up. Go ahead and put it up there. And I've built this entire message on this scripture that's coming up in just a second. Go ahead. Is it there? Is this the one? Is that it? Is it that small on the screen? Wow. Guys, I'm sorry. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. It says this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Isn't that a good translation? And let me be honest with you about this too, because I know that even with one of my own family members, I know that this happens. There will be people that we want to help desperately. God's called us to help them. God's called us to reach out to them. But here's the reality. Sometimes they will not accept our help. Okay? And with that, our world, even though now we are in 2023, really a couple of years on the other side of COVID, really, that major outbreak, our world is still being affected by what that did to our communities and to the cities around the globe. The world is trying to still become smaller and smaller through isolation, through separating ourselves from others. I remember when I was doing real estate and we would go on a Zoom call and there would be 50 to 70 of us on this Zoom call, and there would probably be three out of all the people on the call that would actually have their face on the Zoom call. The rest were blacked out screens, or they had an anime character, or they had a beach background or something like that. But this is what's happening. It's like we want to live life through video chats, but we don't even want people to see our faces. The world is retreating. It's becoming more reclusive. It's withdrawing more and more from others. And this has already affected the church. It has already had a great impact on the body and the Church of Jesus Christ. Guys, we have record numbers every year of churches closing their doors worldwide. And let me tell you why it is. It's not because of persecution. It is because, or only because of persecution. Let me say it that way. It's because we have more and more believers that have lost the value of being together to worship God. You see, everything that I have read, everything that I've heard or received from God's word is that every believer needs to make Jesus larger and larger, that we shouldn't be alone or ever feel alone, that we need community, that we need relationships, that we need love and to be loved more than we will ever know. That scripture we just read, it really reads this right here. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the one who blesses is abundantly blessed. But to get to this place, it requires a heart change. It requires a change in the way that we are thinking, that we would say, God, lead my way of thinking. That what I have is what I have been given is a blessing from God. What I have to share, what I have to give, it actually matters. It really matters. The gospel inside of me matters. My story matters. God matters. Jesus, be large in my thoughts. Be large in my life because I want to pay it forward. God, make me aware of when I am getting in the way of this. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about judging. Now, let me say this real quickly. People who do not serve God, people who have never read the Bible, they know Matthew chapter 7. Because as soon as you want to talk to them about Jesus, or man, you need to change this, or you need to stop doing this, you know what they say? Well, they say, don't judge me. You know, even Jesus said, don't judge me. You know, and so they'll go to that. They don't believe anything else in the Bible, but they believe Matthew 7:1. You know what I mean? And what happens here, though, is that Jesus isn't just talking about judging. Because we know, or that we can't judge things, because here's the truth. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that we could have wisdom to be able to discern and to make judgments. This is wrong and this is right. This needs to stop and this needs to start. You know, okay, so let's look at Matthew 7, 1 and 2. It says this. Do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, let's look at this in the message because I think this puts it in a way that we can all understand this now. It says this. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. Isn't that good? And look at this in the Passion Translation. Refuse to be a critic full of bias toward others, and you will not be judged. You know, when I came across the scripture in the Passion Translation, and bias just came right off the page at me. Because the question is what is bias? In the dictionary, it says it this way, that bias is a preconceived idea, a personal unreasoned judgment, a prejudice in favor or against one thing, a person, or a group. It actually goes on to say in the definition that it distorts our way of thinking and reasoning, and that it can create a story in our mind that isn't necessarily true. The truth is that every single person that Jesus was talking to in Matthew chapter 7, and every single one of us that are in this room, he was letting us know we have bias. Every person in this room has bias. Our preconceived ideas and stories that we have in our heads, this bias is usually based on something that happened in the past, a pain, an experience that deeply affected us, and because of how we process these events, it has created a bias in us. So when we see a group of people or a person that reminds us of that pain, we quickly go to judgment. And then we can also, it leads us into a place to where we can become critical. This is not just about racism. This could be a bias toward men, a bias toward women, a bias that you could be biased against a denomination or a political group. How about this one? We can be biased regarding football teams, biased about a church and the church body. And Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, don't buy into this way of thinking. He says, give me your thoughts. Refuse to judge. Do not live out your days being critical or having a critical spirit. Refuse all bias. And this is what I feel that God is trying to say to every person that came here this morning. And I believe for Harvest to continue moving forward, going forward, and paying it forward, that God is saying this to all of us. Go ahead and put that up there. I know you have a story in your head. Let me change that story. Change the story. Instead of focusing on all the flaws, instead of being negative, let Jesus change the story. Let Jesus lead your thinking. Why? So that you and I can pay it forward by being a blessing, by being a shoulder for somebody to lean on or cry on, or just being there with no biases. Did you know that every time you shake a hand on Sunday, you are paying it forward? That every time that you meet with somebody for coffee or here on Sunday and you just even have a conversation, you are paying it forward. Every time you pray with or for someone, you are paying it forward. Every time you invite someone to Harvest, whether it's by text or email, or you get the opportunity to do it verbally, you are paying it forward. Harvest, let's continue to make Jesus famous. Let's grow the kingdom of God together. Let's make it larger and larger. Let's bless others. Because, hey, guys, let me ask you this. How many of you know you've been blessed? Come on. How many of you know you've been blessed by the hand of God? We need, others want to experience this. And the only way we can be capable of buying into what I'm talking about, what God has for us today, is by making the decision and asking God, God, please lead my way of thinking. So here's the prayer. God, I want to continue to move forward. I want to make a difference with my life. Show me how to pay it forward. And we said the first one was, God, lead my way of thinking. And the second is this, Jesus, help me to be generous with my words. There's some scriptures, there's some good ones actually in the Bible that talks about the power of words. But I think my favorite comes out of Proverbs chapter 18. And I went to the Message translation again because it just gets right to it. And here's what it says. Look at it. It says, Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Isn't that good? So words, they're either death or they're life. It's either poison or fruit, and we get to choose what's going to come out of our mouths. And it gets right to it. You know, when Lori and I got married back in 1988, I'm a new husband, and I had already made up in my mind that I was going to be generous with my words. I had literally made the decision that was going to happen. Now, did Lori and I have arguments? Yes. Did we ever fight? Yes. And guys, it was something in my heart that I just decided I want to be generous with my words. So you know what I would do? I would tell her, babe, that was great. You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're pretty. I love you. And I would do this. And yes, in the midst of everything else that was going on with life, I was generous with my words. And here's the thought that I wanted to give with this is that it was from my heart. And guys, as 5 years went by and as 10 years went by and 15 years went by and the years just keep piling on, amen, praise the Lord, it became second nature. I don't even have to think about it because it's from my heart. I love her. And I wanted to be generous with that. And guys, because we were always generous with each other, especially with our words, God has always blessed us. Look at what the psalmist says here in 116:12. What shall I return the Lord for all his goodness to me? How many of you can say God has been good to you? Come on, amen? And here's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, he's answering a question which I think we already all know. We can never pay God back. Amen? We can't do that. But he says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness? And his answer is this, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. There's some that will break this scripture down and they will say the part where it says, I will lift up the cup of salvation, like we're toasting God. Cheers to God. Cheers to you, God, for what you've done in my life and everything. But I actually see that a little bit deeper. I see this as the psalmist saying, I will lift up my cup of salvation, and I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Here's what he's saying. I believe it's this. Thank you, God. Here's my cup. I know I can never pay you back, so what I want you to do is fill my cup, Lord. Amen? I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. I want you to fill my cup. I'm asking for more of you, more people to find your son Jesus, more healings, more deliverances, more people set free, more of your blessings, because we will never be able to pay it back, because we know in John 3:16, look at the scripture. This is just the first part of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Guys, we can't touch that. And I don't want to try to touch that. But we can pay it forward with our lives, with our thoughts, and our words. Give me an amen. God can use our words. He can use our lives. He can use us to lead the lost to his son, to be a blessing to others. He can use us to pay it forward so that others can do the same. Church, let me just say this one more time. Be generous with your words. Let your words have life in them, amen, so that others will find him. So here's the prayer again. God, I want to continue to move forward to you. I want to make a difference with my life. Show me how I can pay it forward. And here's my third and final thought. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom and vision regarding my finances. Guys, did you know that we really do need the Holy Spirit when it comes to our finances, how we spend, where we spend, why are we spending it? Same goes with savings, having a savings account. Are we putting money aside? In addressing paying it forward, we need God's wisdom and vision. Let me get out here. I'm going to use Lori and I again. So we first get married, just get back from the honeymoon. Have a couple of weeks with our family in the Bay Area, and we move up to Sacramento, California to get an apartment to help plant a church up there. And so Lori and I had some savings. She had some money she had made, and we put it together, and we decided, let's furnish our apartment. Now, guys, we didn't buy top-of-the-line furniture, but we bought some decent stuff, and we filled up that entire house. But you know what happened when we got done filling up the house? We had nothing left. Nothing. I mean, I'm not even kidding around. We didn't even have 20 bucks to take a typing test so that we could get hired by the Sacramento courthouse. And so luckily, Lori had one more check that came in that got us through just so that we could take the test and finally get on with the Sacramento courthouse so that we could start making money. We had no vision past the first 3 days of being in that apartment. Guys, we learned a little bit of a lesson there, you know what I mean? And we had to start giving that to the Lord. God is the one who blesses us. Give me an amen. And no matter how you want to define it or categorize it, he is the one who blesses us. Especially Harvest as a church, we have been blessed in so many different ways. Can I just start at 2020? Because I know Harvest has been blessed since the 80s. I understand that. But I've been here as your pastor since October of 2020. And God has blessed us. He's blessed us with this beautiful church remodel. Come on. Amen. He made that possible for us. We painted, we have cleaned, we have two brand new bathrooms in this section for men and women, and back here, men and women. God gave us that. He gave us this beautiful expansion next door. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that we just opened up and got into in April? And guys, here's the thing is, we have grown also by numbers. We really have. And let me just say this, God did this. Jesus did this. The Holy Spirit had everything to do with this. I give him all the glory. Our expansion next door is truly a gift of God. And when I think of paying it forward, I can't help but think of how good God is and how God has blessed Harvest. He has blessed us as a church and as a people. Let me just give you some more numbers because I know that helps sometimes. Every week, everybody say every week. Every week, in the youth ministry center, right back here, you can have anywhere between 40 to 70 plus college age to youth every week in that room back over there. Right next door and within our church, every Sunday, everybody say every Sunday. Every Sunday, we have 100 plus children at Harvest Assembly. Guys, so when you put these numbers together, we have anywhere from 170 plus, between 170 plus and 180 that are here every week. Guys, that's a whole church. There are churches around America that would die to have 170 bless their congregation. Let me put this up on the screen for you. There was a census of churches. Look at this. Churches nationwide under 100 people. In 2000, there was 45% of our nationwide churches across America that were under 100 people. Now, in 2021, look at this. This is right after COVID, we went to 65%. Now, let me make sure that I'm saying this. I'm not bashing little churches because I know that the number, that what's included in this number are church plants. You know, I do know that. My father pastors a church in Nashville that they planted a few years ago, and they're starting to bust into 70 and going up to 80 people, and it's a thriving church. So I understand that. But in those numbers, especially after 2021, that increase is because churches were closing their doors. People don't want to get together to worship anymore. And so it was happening. In 2023, they believe we are actually getting closer to almost 70% of our nation's churches are under 100 people. So when we think about having just weekly almost 180 students and children in our church every week, I praise God for that. Amen? Come on. I praise God for that. Worship team, why don't y'all come on up? Thank you. Let's give our worship team a hand. Let's bless them and say, everything that we are seeing, everything that we as people are experiencing, what Jesus is doing, honestly, friends, this is not just to be for us. When I really think about why we have this expansion and why we did this church remodel, God is doing this for those who have still not even walked into this building. He is looking 5 to 10 years down the road, knowing that there are going to be those that are lost, those that are searching, those that need a congregation, a body, friends, family, that are still going to walk through these doors. This is for those who will say yes to Jesus, not just for today, but 20 years from now. Can y'all imagine that? That 20 years from now that God sees and what's going on and what we're understanding is going on, that he has a vision for this. The glory that he will pour out and continue to pour out on Harvest. You know, we were in a campaign called the Together Campaign. And when we started the church remodel, this is before the expansion, we went into a 2-year campaign called the Together Campaign. That ended in May. And starting this Sunday, which we're going to have some of our financial board are going to come up and talk to you a little bit about, we're doing a new campaign called Pay It Forward. Everybody say Pay It Forward. Because I have conversations with people all the time that will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Matt, we're growing. We need a new sanctuary. Pastor Matt, you see how we're growing? Man, it'd be great to have a new sanctuary. Can I just say this to you? Yes, I would love that. But we need to take care of what God has blessed us with right here. Amen? And I want you guys to check out this, because here's the thing is when we're talking about paying it forward, we're not just paying it forward so we can pay off the buildings. That's a big part of it. But it's for those that are going to be here 5 and 10 years from now, amen? Because it's going to be a blessing. Look at what Rick Warren says right here. You guys, check out this video real quickly. Amen. Guys, let's look at the scripture one more time because I've highlighted some different things. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And what's it say here? Those who help others are... Remember when I said 3 weeks ago, our God is never going to cry out for help. Why? Because he is help. Amen. And so this scripture is really, really speaking into this. And so we are going to go into this Pay It Forward serving campaign because, yes, we do need a new sanctuary, but we need to be good stewards with what God has. Yes, we do need a new sanctuary, and we want to have this paid off, but this is about people who are going to continue to come over the years, 5 to 10 years, 20 years down the road, that are going to need Jesus. One of our financial board members couldn't be here. He's in Singapore. How many of you guys know Don Murdoch, Bonnie's husband? You guys, check out this video very quickly. Hey, let's give Don a hand, man, all the way from Singapore. But guys, my message to you is this, is that God is growing us, he's blessing us, and he's helping us. And so I'm going to turn this over to one of our other financial boards. Let's give David Alexander a hand, and God bless you guys.
Good morning, Harvest. My wife and I started attending Harvest in 1999, and we're here because people before us paid it forward. We've had 4 children grow up in this church. They were literally born in this church. That's how we always like to say it. And they have been blessed by all those who were here before us. We are here today because of them. And we have children back here right now who are less than a year old. How awesome it would be to pay that forward, that in 20 or 25 years or 30 years when they have their families, that we have been able to grow a ministry and a church and a building and a location for them to grow their families and be able to start the next generation of paying it forward. I have seen this church go through so many transitions over the years, and I've seen how the body has generously given each and every year. And it's such a blessing for us to be a part of Harvest and be able just to see Harvest grow. I participate in VBS for 20 years now. And my vision and my dream, and I know it's Pastor Bill's, and I know it's many other people's too, but my vision is this is Kids Church right here. This is Kids Town on Sunday morning. This is 150, 200 chairs filled full of children with 100 people in here volunteering to help oversee them with a team of people up here giving drama and sharing God's word. My vision is to see this is our youth group on Wednesday night, 150 to 200 youth in here with leaders here bringing up our next generation. But then that means where do we stand? We need to be in our own sanctuary with 800-900 people given to God, busting these walls open for Chesapeake, busting them open for Virginia, busting them open for this country, and then breaking those walls to go into our nations. Our goal is to be growing. If we're not growing, we're dying. We're to be on fire for God. And that's where Harvest is going right now. We are on fire. So we're asking you, be on fire. How we do is we pay it forward. It's a pledge. You all might have received these when you walked in. If you didn't, raise your hand. Ushers are ready to hand these out to you if you haven't received one yet. It's a very simple, basic setup. We're just asking you to give a pledge. It's a prayerful pledge, not today. This is a pledge that we're asking above and beyond your tithes and your offerings. We're asking for a two-year commitment out of you. You can do it weekly, you can do it monthly, you could do it annually, you could do it all in one shot if you wanted to, but you have to pray about it first. On the back will be instructions. If you're single, a great way to figure this out, and if you're married, a great way to figure this out. How do we give? Because I can tell you right now, a husband and a wife are going to come up with two different numbers if they're all left up to their own. But if you pray about it, God's going to intervene. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you this is what you need to give. Okay? So let God direct you how to do this. I just want to give you one little vision here, if you would do me a favor. This comes out of Luke 21. A lot of you have heard this. I want to give you a little different vision. I've shared this once before, but I ask you all just please close your eyes for me. Jesus is sitting there in the temple. He's observing. He's watching all the people come in and give accordingly. People are walking in these big, beautiful purple robes with gold tassels, jewelry hanging off of them. They're coming in with huge baskets of coins and urns and things made of gold and silver and great perfumes. And they smell wonderful. They look amazing. And they walk over to this giving area, which is usually made of some type of metal. And they pour their coins in. But they pour them in slowly so they ching and chang and make all types of noises so everybody can hear what they're giving. And people are giving them praise and yelling and screaming, hoo-ah, yay, yahoo, all right, great. But Jesus isn't paying attention. And then it talks about how this poor widow comes in. She sets in two copper coins. And they go clink, clink. Picture Jesus as his eyes just pop open. He focuses on that one woman and says, wow, she gave it all. His message is simple. She gave out a sacrifice. All others were giving out a substance. She gave what she didn't have. The others gave what they could afford. When the others gave, it didn't hurt. When she gave sacrificially. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you give us, Lord. You give it all, Lord. You, Jesus, gave it all for us. And sometimes, Lord, we don't give to you what we should. We like to hear the clink, clink, but you don't hear us give clink, clink. So, Father, in this time of paying it forward, and give us this time as we pray over, Lord, what we want to give, Lord, and how we want to give it to you over these years, over these next 2 years, Lord Father. Lord, I just pray in our spirits that we hear you saying, clink, clink. Does our gifting say, clink, clink? So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for what you've given Harvest. I thank you for what you do with the provision given, Lord, Father. I thank you for the growth that you've given us. I thank you for the vision that you have for us, Lord, and the things that we will never see, Lord. 100 years from now, Lord, things we will never see, Lord. But, Lord, you already know. So I ask for this blessing of prayerful consideration, Lord Jesus. May your spirit flow through ours, Lord, Father. May we hear you, Lord. May we give, Lord, that it says, clink, clink. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Can everybody say amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Let's all stand real quickly. If you do have one of the pledge cards with you, could you put that in your hand real quickly? And if you're there as a family, maybe just a husband and wives could hold that together. But, guys, I want you to see this visual of the thermometer here that we have. That's where we are. We've got a little over $300,000. We need to be right over that $2 million. So this campaign we're going in for the next 2 years is we want to see that thermometer grow. So I want us to give this to the Lord. Let's close our eyes, and I want you just to repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, help us as a church. Take my way of thinking. Make me generous with my words and give me vision with my finances. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. And everybody said amen. You guys go home, pray about this as families. Next week we'll